Well, good evening.
Good evening.
We have a special guest tonight from 40 years ago. Must be. This is David Caruso and Lily, his daughter. We've come from Massachusetts to visit California from long, long ago. We used to sit at Hidden Villa together, listening to the peacocks and the cows. Yeah, David was a Santa Cruz one, so we had all the backing and forthing between Santa Cruz and Los Altos. Now, Santa Cruz, some of them are still in Santa Cruz. Balin and Paula are part of our Sangha, but they're living in San Diego. So I see them on Skype, and they come up and sit Sesshin with us. So we have a little more taste of a Santa Cruz from the old days. That is very, very special feeling. So we have just begun a study of this little book. I don't know if you know this. It's Chogyam Trungpa's version of the compassion training, cultivating loving kindness is what he calls it. And it's a whole series of suggestions based on abstract bodhicitta and relative everyday bodhicitta. So mostly it's the everyday part, but it starts out with the abstract. So we've just done that part. Don Lin put this together, or found this probably online. And this is a list of all of the slogans, the points and the slogans. So it makes it a little easier to follow. Chogyam Trungpa had a way with words. That, are there enough? Notice another. So what we're doing is taking some of these at a time and taking them home and living them in a way that I hope gives us some sort of insight into the reality of what otherwise is just words. And what we took home this week was 3 through 6, I think, ending with being a child of illusion. That when we get up from Zazen and live our life, that we realize that we're in the present moment and there's nothing wrong with it at all, essentially, and nothing wrong with us at all. So the essence of it is to sit, the sitting practice itself, and then to cultivate a mind of accepting ourself, just, well, he says, Chogyam says to accept that we're not evil. I don't think most of us think of ourselves as evil. I hope not. But we certainly have a lot of doubts about ourselves. And the hope is that we can develop some kind of acceptance of ourself for all of our foolishness and for all of the many mistakes that we make and all of our bewilderment often in how we blunder through our life. That life itself is a kind of blundering proposition, and it's fine the way it is. He says, just swim with it. And really, that's as wise as anything. If we think in terms of time, we get stuck in spring, summer, fall, and winter. But if we swim with where we are, we don't have to name, we don't have to characterize where we are. Just go with it. Be not only with it, but be it itself. So developing what he called it, a childlike delight. And then people say, well, that's just Pollyanna. That's silly. That's, life is tough and things are hard and they're getting harder and it's scary and all of the above, and it's all true. And yet, when we begin to look deeply into ourself, our life, try to understand what this is, begin to see how ephemeral we ourselves are, and all around us, that nothing stays in place or in time. It's all a dynamic that turns and changes continually. It flows, as he says. And so, especially we in our condition, you could say, which in spite of all of our doubts and all of the things we think we know that are difficult, we are living the life of Riley, you could say. We're living in a very, very splendid life and world. And so we can actually keep what he called a childlike delight. Cultivate a childlike delight. And pay attention to how things really are as they shift and change, as they come and go. And as he said, as you return to yourself, return to this place and this time and this moment, come back to it over and over again, you can rest in it. Relax in it. So, I don't know what you came up with during the week around this. Andy was telling me in the car that didn't make much sense. And the Alaya, which is
that one image.
The image of the
padded walls.
It's a good question.
Comes back, pings. Television ping pong games.
Yes, that's what he said. He's talking about projection.
Yeah.
We project ourselves onto the phenomenal world. Like a film projector. And he says, we have the film, which is the fickleness of our mind, constantly changing. So you can't keep just one frame. It's click, 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 going so fast that it seems like it's just one image, but it's jillions flowing. So he says, with our sense organs, we look and we listen, and therefore when we listen, we look. And so we connect things together in time, although things are shifting constantly. So, it's your turn now. What did you think going through this? Did you end up being a child of illusion? Jeffrey?
Well, my thoughts were with my Dharma brothers and sisters on Saturday. As I sat through a Poetry Center yard sale at my house.
Oh, yes.
Which was, when we think about gain and loss, we didn't lose anything. We didn't make a lot of money either.
Oh.
And yet, it was such a successful day in many non-monetarily ways. I got to sit and have meaningful discussions with a number of people.
Mm-hmm.
Heartfelt. A lot deeper than what I typically get when I attend poetry readings. And it was just delightful. At 1 o'clock, a group of musicians showed up and performed on my front lawn through the filtered light of the sycamore. And what you just said in regards to our life, it wasn't any better than that moment. Listening to my friends whom I've known for several decades sing a whole host of wonderful songs for 2 hours. Not many people there to share it with, but a handful who listened and really appreciated. I have a friend who plays the saw, and it creates the most ethereal sound. And he is a much sought-after saw player. I mean, he performs in for theater groups when they do things like Of Mice and Men, things like that, because his tone is so amazing. So after a full day of dragging things in and out, and talking money, which is a really interesting conversation for me.
Yes.
I've been sticking myself, my nose, into so many interesting areas that I've never really had much knowledge about. I've never been an executive to an estate, and the day prior to that, I was driving from Santa Rosa in a 10-foot cargo van with a load of the last furniture from my deceased cousin. So, child of illusion, I think is where I'm heading with all this. So, floating Zendo, all these qualities of taking my practice wherever I go, that what I'm trying to get at is practice in life, life in practice, all like that. And part of the practice is trying to tread as lightly as I can with all these things that I'm describing. My poetry board, which I'm a member of, is having a bit of a crisis with both money and personalities right now. And I felt, being the young, the most recent board member, I'm still learning personalities, and I'm still learning how this group functions. And it was a big learning curve for me, and continues to be. So all of that kind of unfolded on Friday and Saturday, and then we had Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And my mother-in-law, in her true fashion, showed up about 5 hours late after everybody had left. After we'd sort of packed up Mother's Day, she showed up with these just about about nine of these huge, beautiful bouquets of roses. And the reason why she was late is she spent all day cutting roses. And I'm trying to tell you a story about what my life looked like for about over 48 hours. But it really had this unbelievable quality to it.
Yeah.
It's just, I moved in one direction, moved in another direction, moved in another direction. All the time, making sure my ballast was, you know, was there. And whether I was treating that mother-in-law who showed up 5 hours late, or whether it was the person who insisted that I was highballing them on a piece of art that we were trying to sell at the yard sale, or whatever happened back up in Santa Rosa, where I was trying to load up some stuff. All this stuff that was kind of going on just had a real interesting quality.
Did you do the best part of a flea market? I always thought was at the very end when you had to decide it was over, to start giving it all away, whatever was left. Every year we had a flea market.
On your street?
No, it was downtown. Mm. They had a big one in Los Altos, and we always had a little spot, I guess.
Are you talking about Haiku Zendo?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so at the very end, we always ended up with a lot of junk, and we started giving it away. You know, if people came along and asked how much, we just said, oh, take it, take it. And it was so fun, because we'd been trying to get the money all week, and then to just blow the whole thing away. It was beautiful. Do you remember? Yeah. Yeah. We don't notice often until it's so peculiar like that. So many unusual things going on at the same time.
Lots of unusual things.
Yeah, but you can have maybe four or five more weekends that wouldn't be anything as dramatic as any of that. You know, and all of a sudden the causes and conditions of life all come together and just make a story, a wonderful story.
I kind of like all the interruptions that happen.
Yes.
I like when somebody says, your sweet pea smells so lovely. We stop that, the dance of the, and you and the other person become hummingbirds or bees, and you go and you stick your nose in, right, and then in the midst of all those sweet peas, where you go out in the backyard and you look at how the rose is coming along, or in my case, my morning started and I was taking my signage out and putting it in positions in the neighborhood, and a crow came extremely close and had a conversation with me, you know, early in my morning. Those kind of moments.
Details.
When that sun filtering through those 75-year-old sycamores on my block, which always for me is, it's a little bit like just before you came in, the sun coming in and hitting on Jerusalem. It's just so beautiful. You know, just that. Trying to live that moment-to-moment kind of life that is so satisfying and is really the joy of the practice, because you see it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not oblivious to it. You're not So one of the things in my book that Wallace talks about is the anxiety that's kind of built into human experience, especially Western culture. All the work is so hard at whatever we have to do that we don't have enough time to pause, get through our anxiety, just enjoy the smell of the sweet pea or the sunlight striking manjushri or the smile on a child's face or whatever it is that you're missing, you know. It's there. It is there and you're just missing it. So for all those kind of moments,
perfect. Yeah. Thank you, Jeffrey. Samuel?
I was curious to see what this lovely young lady thought of this whole spiel over here. And you don't have to say anything, but I have a daughter that's maybe a couple years younger than me. I used to drag her along here when I didn't have a babysitter and she'd fall asleep there. I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts.
I think it's really interesting because obviously my dad's been doing it my whole life and I've never really known much about it. So it's nice for me to sort of experience what he's been experiencing and have a deeper understanding of why it's so important.
We didn't do introductions around. You should do that now.
I'm Ellie. Britt.
Jeffrey.
Sammy.
I'm David.
Lily. You say what?
Wendy.
So, anything else?
Another thing, David comes from a Zen group that I kind of follow on the blog. And so one of his teachers, David Reinick, is someone that when we began our, if you recall, remember we had some questions about the group. And when we started our book club, that was our first reading. This truth never fails. And, so many of the bloggers that I follow are out of Massachusetts. Don't ask me why.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are.
James is moving to Southern California.
I saw that he is stepping down as he was just retired. I did his retirement thing.
Yeah, and moving.
And moving.
Yeah.
Southern California?
Yes.
What's that about?
I don't know. The other teachers are telling him it's not a good idea. He's trying to decide.
He was in East Bay Boy. I always thought that.
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
Isn't he born in Oakland?
I don't know what attracts him to the South. It's just this.
That's my story that I have for him, see, so.
Yes. Well, the teachers have this ongoing conversation online, and so we get all the gossip and the information about each other.
David, can you tell us more?
I don't know. I knew James was thinking a lot about retiring, this position as an interim minister over the last year and a half to 2 years. I retired from university work in last July 2013. And when I was telling James, I'm going to retire in July, he was thinking a lot about that.
Sounded good.
I didn't know about his decisions and thinking about relocating.
Yeah. Well,
might I just ask
you
a question? You mentioned Jeffrey David's book, This Truth Never Fails, was the first book your book group?
Yeah, it was literally the first one. Well, this group apparently has had many book clubs, and we we had reinvented it, and we were looking around for something, and I had been reading David's blogs, and he had advertised his book, and so that was the first one. I thought it would be a good one, and it was. It was our initial book.
I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Oh, please
do.
Be interested in it.
Yeah.
Well, having spent the week in this one area, can step into the next one, which is the Lojong practice of giving and receiving and sending. Sending and receiving and receiving and sending. First, is the first one and the only real one of the relative bodhicitta, the everyday ordinary life, just as you were talking about. Having become a child of illusion and a child of delight in life and the world, then practice sending loving kindness out into the world and receiving, breathing in the suffering in the world. It sounds counterintuitive. It sounds like you end up being a lump of misery, having taken in all the bad stuff in the world, but it doesn't work that way. Having generated loving kindness, it regenerates itself endlessly. And so the process, although it seems opposite, is the one that makes it work. That taking in and being willing to suffer with others, which is what compassion means, suffering with, and with kindness and gentleness and appreciation, and then sending out kindness and gentleness and appreciation. So what you end up with is just developing this kindness and generosity that happens on both sides, coming in, bringing it in, and then sending it back out again. And so it's a way, a very invisible way of developing something that turns into a kind of treasure of our life as we move through and encounter what we encounter. Our life is one encounter after another, one meeting after another. And this Lojong practice is how to meet, you could say. How to have a wholesome and a sort of world-changing way of encounter with this body that is already a reception and receiving machine, you could say almost, or a lump of flesh that's always taking in information and always sending it out. And being aware of that, being awake to it, and generating the kind of awareness that wakes not only us, but everything around us. So that life itself becomes the atmosphere of what they call loving kindness. So, he suggests, Chogyam does, that it's practiced on the breath. So, breathing in and noticing the breath and then breathing it out. And creating a time for doing this, maybe once a day or twice a day. Just let it become part of your practice. And kind of see what happens. Not put anything on it, but just observe. Kindly observe, you could say. So you don't try to hold on to it. You don't try to possess what happens or what you want to happen. It isn't like that. It's just a way of being and letting it go, and being and letting it go. And that's the essential practice for us, is that letting go part. It's so easy to get stuck, so easy to want to hold on and keep something, especially if it's really delicious or really nice or just what we want. Better let it go. Because otherwise there's not room for the next thing to happen. And the next thing after that. So that's our command.
Homework.
Yes, that's how we can carry ourselves in the world, as being awake in this way, allowing ourself to let go, even when we want to hold on, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Just remember, there's no such thing.
How do we let go of other people's suffering?
Take it in.
Yeah.
And just care for them.
Right.
You can't make it go away.
No. You're really powerless.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can love them.
Yes.
It's hard. One of the things he said about this is, if everybody began to give things away to each other, there would be a tremendous conflict. But if you develop the attitude of being willing to part with your precious things, to give away your precious things to others, that can help begin to create a good reality. So one of the practices that someone told me about, Pema Chodron, is that when people go to Nova Scotia, where her abbey is, that if they're there for a practice period, they're told to bring something precious, a beautiful thing that grandma gave, or something special that you really, really love, that you can put on the altar. And so everybody comes and they bring things that they really, really love and put them on the altar. And they expect when it's over that, of course, they'll get it back. And they don't. She keeps them all.
She's quite a hoard.
I bet she does. She probably gives them away.
That's a little garage sale.
Yeah, right. So it's that kind of mind. That sort of letting go, that kind of generosity, which is the very first one of these practices, actually. So that's homework. Are there questions? So we plunge into Tonglen practice. Well, it's 8. It's a little after 8, so we should... is there anything we should know?
Nothing comes to mind. Do you have a contact information for Seiko? I mean, I feel like we should thank her.
Yes.
Okay.
We had a very wonderful day on Saturday, last Saturday, up in the mountains at Connie Batten's place. And we had a tea ceremony. In fact, she did 3 of them because there were so many of us. And in the little tea hut, she and Soumya put it together, and it was a very beautiful part of the sitting that day. So she came in a yukata with a big, beautiful obi around her, and she looked so beautiful serving. It was really nice. So let's sit for 1 minute.